A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's in a new rental, hasn't set up the desktop yet, and he's stuck dictating into his laptop's built-in mic. He's a voice-first user, been at it over a year, but the accuracy right now is terrible. He's got Easy Effects running with gain maxed out, noise removal, the works, and it's still butchering words. He's wondering whether a compact shotgun clip to the screen or a wireless lav would fix it. And here's the key. He doesn't care about beautiful audio. He wants whatever produces the lowest word error rate. That's the only metric that matters here.
He's absolutely right to frame it that way. Most microphone reviews are about warmth and presence and how your voice sounds on a podcast. Daniel's asking a completely different question. Which mic makes the transcription model make the fewest mistakes? Those two things don't always overlap.
Let's unpack why that internal mic is failing him, and what he can actually do about it.
The first thing to understand is that laptop microphones aren't designed for dictation. They're designed for video calls, and even then, they're designed to a price point and a thickness constraint that has nothing to do with audio quality. The capsule itself is tiny, we're talking a few millimeters across, and it's buried somewhere in the chassis. Daniel mentioned he doesn't even know where it is, which is a great point. On most laptops, it's either on the front edge near the trackpad, or it's a pinhole next to the webcam. Either way, it's not pointed at your mouth.
He's directing his voice at the screen, which is where the webcam is, which feels logical. But the mic might be down by the inch, picking up fan noise and keyboard clatter instead.
But even if it were perfectly positioned, the physics are working against him. This is the inverse square law. Every time you double the distance between your mouth and the microphone, you lose 6 decibels of signal. The noise floor, the ambient hum of the room, the laptop fan, the refrigerator 2 rooms over that stays constant, so your signal-to-noise ratio plummets. A typical laptop mic is maybe 50 to 70 centimeters from your mouth. A lav mic clipped to your collar is 5 centimeters away. That's a factor of 10 in distance, which means roughly 20 decibels more signal before you even talk about capsule quality or directionality.
The failure mode isn't really obstruction versus rubbish capsule. It's both, and distance is the multiplier that makes both worse.
And then Daniel's got Easy Effects running. Automatic gain control, noise removal, the whole pipeline. This is the band-aid that actually introduces new problems. ATC in particular is designed for consistent volume in voice calls. When you're speaking, it holds the gain at a reasonable level. But the moment you pause, and dictation is full of pauses, you're thinking about what to say next. The AGC detects silence and starts cranking the gain to bring up whatever it can hear. Suddenly, your whisper or deepgram model is getting fed the amplified hum of your laptop fan, and it starts hallucinating words out of the noise floor.
That's a specific failure I don't think most people realize is happening. The transcription isn't just missing words, it's inventing them.
There was a test done by a transcription researcher last year who found that AGC can increase word error rate by 10 to 15% specifically during quiet passages because the model treats that gained up noise as low confidence speech and takes its best guess. You'll see phantom punctuation, random short words like the and appearing in the middle of silence. It's the ASR equivalent of pareidolia, seeing faces in static.
Daniel's got a triple problem. Bad capsule, bad position, and software that's actively making things worse during the moments he's not talking. And he's got the gain at 100%, which means the noise floor is already as high as it can go before he even opens his mouth.
That's before we even talk about the actual numbers. Puget Systems did a really thorough dictation mic comparison. This was published in 2024. They tested a range of microphones with Whisper. The internal laptop mic came in at 18.3% word error rate. That means nearly 1 in every 5 words is wrong. For voice-first computing, that's unusable. You spend more time correcting than you would have spent typing.
18% is brutal. What did a decent external mic get?
A $70 Samson Q2U, that's a dynamic USB mic, nothing exotic, dropped the WER to 4.1%. That's a 4.5 times improvement. Same model, same room, same speaker. The only variable was the microphone.
The model isn't the bottleneck. The hardware is.
That's the core insight, and it's the thing most coverage misses. Everyone's excited about Whisper and DeepGram and Claude Code voice typing hitting 95%+ accuracy in ideal conditions, and they assume the software will just keep getting better and eventually overcome bad audio. But we're hitting a plateau. These models are trained on clean, closed-mixed speech. They can handle some noise, but they can't reconstruct information that was never captured in the first place. If the capsule didn't pick up the difference between an F and a thief, no amount of machine learning is going to recover that.
That's the misconception worth busting right there. The idea that better software will eventually fix bad hardware. It's like expecting a better photo editing algorithm to recover detail that wasn't in the sensor data.
And it's especially relevant now because ASR models have gotten so good that the gains from switching models are shrinking, while the gains from switching microphones are still enormous. Going from Whisper Large V2 to Large V3 might get you 1 or 2% improvement on a good mic. Going from a laptop mic to a $40 lav gets you 10 to 15%. The slope is completely different.
Okay, so we know the problem. Now let's look at the actual solutions and compare them head to head. Daniel floated two ideas, a compact shotgun clipped to the screen or a wireless lav. Let's walk through both.
The shotgun option is interesting, and I understand why he gravitated toward it. The idea is, you clip a small directional microphone to the top of your laptop screen. It points at your face, and you get a tight polar pattern that rejects sound from the sides and rear. Something like the Rode VideoMic GO2 is compact enough to live in a laptop bag. It connects over USB-C, sounds decent. The problem is that shotguns work on the principle of an interference tube. They cancel sound arriving from off-axis by creating phase differences. That works great at rejecting room reflections and side noise, but it doesn't solve the fundamental distance problem.
Because it's still sitting on top of the screen, which is still, what, 60, 70 centimeters from your mouth?
You're still losing signal to the inverse square law. A shotgun gives you a cleaner version of that distant signal, but it's still a distant signal. In a quiet room, it'll beat the internal mic easily. In a room with any ambient noise, and Daniel's in a new rental, he might have street noise, he might have echo from bare walls. The shotgun is going to struggle more than a closed mic solution.
What about the convenience factor? He specifically wants something that clips on and off easily and packs into a laptop bag.
The Rode VideoMic GO2 weighs about 90 grams and is maybe 15 centimeters long. It's packable. But you need a mount, you need a cable, and every time you set up at a coffee shop or a co-working space, you're that person with the microphone rig. There's a social friction cost that's real. For home use, it's fine. For mobile use, it's a bit much.
The love route.
This is where it gets interesting, and where Daniel's instinct is mostly right. A wired lav like the Rode Lavalier 2 or the Shure MV51, the capsule sits 5 to 10 centimeters from your mouth. That's ideal. You're maximizing signal-to-noise ratio before any processing happens. The problem, as he noted, is the tether. You're physically connected to the laptop. You can't get up to grab a book or paste while you're thinking without unplugging.
Which, for a voice-first user, who's probably dictating while moving around the room, that's a real friction point.
And it's why the wireless lav market has exploded. But here's where we need to get specific about the technology, because not all wireless is the same. Daniel mentioned Bluetooth, and I want to flag this carefully. Bluetooth audio uses codec compression, typically SBC or AAC. These codecs are designed for music and voice calls, not for feeding audio into a speech-to-text model. The compression introduces something called transient smearing. Consonants, which are critical for word recognition, get softened. The attack of a T or a K sound gets slightly blurred, and the ASR model loses the cues it uses to distinguish between similar words.
How big a difference are we talking?
Podcastage did a really clean test of this, published earlier this year, 2025. They tested the DJI Mic 2, which uses Bluetooth with AAC codec, against the Rode Wireless GO2, which uses a 2.4 GHz digital transmission that's not Bluetooth. Same speaker, same script, same room, both feeding Whisper Large, V3. The DJI Mic 2 over Bluetooth came in at 4.8% WERE. The Rode Wireless GO2 over its proprietary 2.4 GHz link came in at 2.5%. That's nearly half the error rate.
Bluetooth is adding roughly 2 percentage points of errors just from the compression.
And for comparison, a Wiredshare MV51 in the same test got 2.3%, so the Rode 2.4 GHz system is essentially matching wired performance. The Bluetooth option is measurably worse.
That's a misconception worth naming directly. The assumption that a Bluetooth mic is fine for dictation because it sounds fine on a phone call. Phone calls are compressed to 8 kHz anyway. The ASR model is listening for detail that a phone call throws away.
Phone calls are optimized for intelligibility of human speech to human ears, which is very forgiving. ASR models are trained on full bandwidth audio, and they use spectral detail that we don't consciously notice, but that makes a real difference in word discrimination.
What about the headset option? Daniel didn't mention it, but it feels like the dark horse here.
It absolutely is, and I'm glad you brought it up. A headset with a boom mic is the unglamorous, objectively correct answer for pure dictation accuracy. The boom arm positions the capsule at a fixed 2 centimeters from the corner of your mouth. That distance never changes whether you turn your head, lean back, stand up. The SNR is maximized, and it's consistent. The Logitech Zone Wireless, which uses a dedicated USB dongle rather than Bluetooth, consistently achieves under 2% WER in whisper benchmarks. That's better than any lav, better than any shotgun, better than most podcasting microphones.
You have to wear a headset.
You have to wear a headset. And for some people, that's a total non-starter. It's not elegant, it messes up your hair, it feels like you're in a call center. The social acceptability of walking around your apartment wearing a boom mic headset is... it's a personal calculation.
I feel like Daniel, given that he's specifically optimizing for WER and not aesthetics, might actually be open to this.
And I'll say this, even a cheap $30 cost headset with a boom mic will beat a $200 wireless lav in raw dictation accuracy, simply because of that consistent 2 centimeter distance. The capsule quality matters less than the physics of proximity.
Let's build the decision framework. If you never move from the desk, what's the call?
Wired lav or headset. The Boya BY-M1 is $20, plugs into the 3.5mm jack, and will cut your wear by a factor of 3 or 4 compared to the internal mic. The cable is annoying, but the accuracy gain is undeniable. If you can tolerate the headset, the Logitech Zone Wireless with the USB dongle is the accuracy king. Under 2% WER, that's basically transcription nirvana.
If you want to move around the room?
Wireless lav, but specifically one that uses a 2.4 GHz digital link with its own receiver, not Bluetooth. The Rode Wireless GO2 is the reference pick here. It comes with a USB-C receiver that your laptop sees as a standard audio interface. No pairing, no Bluetooth stack, no codec compression. You clip the transmitter to your collar, plug the receiver into the laptop, and you're getting wired equivalent accuracy with full mobility. The DJI Mic 2 can also work in this mode if you use the receiver instead of Bluetooth, but out of the box it defaults to Bluetooth, and that's where the WER penalty kicks in.
The shotgun clip-on?
I'd put that third. If you really want the zero wear experience, nothing clipped to your clothing, nothing on your head. A compact shotgun like the Rode VideoMic GO2 mounted above the screen will beat the internal mic handily. But in a room with any ambient noise, the lav or headset will beat the shotgun because of that distance advantage. The shotgun is a compromise between convenience and accuracy. It's better than nothing, but it's not the optimal tool for the job Daniel described.
What about the gain staging? He mentioned he's got the internal mic at 100%. Assuming he switches to an external mic, what should he actually do with the levels?
This is the pro tip that makes a bigger difference than most people realize. Disable AGC entirely. Turn off the automatic gain control in Easy Effects or in your system sound settings. Set a fixed gain level that puts your normal speaking voice peaking at about negative 12 to negative 6 dB. You want headroom. The ASR model is trained on normalized audio. It expects a consistent level and it handles dynamic range just fine. What it doesn't handle well is the pumping and breathing of AGC, where the noise floor rises and falls between sentences.
You're basically giving the model a clean, consistent signal and letting it do its job, rather than pre-processing the audio in ways that were designed for human listeners on a Zoom call.
And this is counterintuitive because we've been trained by decades of voice calling to think that AGC is helpful. It is helpful when the goal is, the person on the other end doesn't have to adjust their volume. It is harmful when the goal is a machine learning model needs to accurately transcribe every phoneme. Those are different optimization targets.
I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the plateau. If Whisper and DeepGram are both hovering around that 95% mark with good audio, is there a ceiling we're approaching where even perfect audio won't help?
There's an interesting question about where the ceiling actually is. Human transcriptionists make errors too. The benchmark for human WER on clean speech is around 1 to 2%, which is roughly where the best ASR systems are now with ideal audio. So we're approaching human parity in ideal conditions. The remaining errors tend to be on proper nouns, technical vocabulary, and ambiguous homophones, things that require world knowledge, not just acoustic processing. So yes, there's a ceiling, but most users aren't hitting it because their audio chain is the bottleneck long before the model is.
The practical ceiling for most people isn't the model's capability, it's whether they've spent $50 on a decent microphone.
And I think that's the message Daniel needs to hear. He's been voice first for over a year. He's committed to the workflow. $100 to $200 on the right microphone will do more for his daily experience than any software update ever could.
With all that data, what should he actually buy? Let's give him a concrete answer.
For his specific use case, laptop dictation, voice-first computing, wants some mobility. Optimizing purely for lowest WER, the Rode Wireless GO2 is the best balance. It uses that 2.4 GHz digital transmission, no Bluetooth compression penalty, the receiver is a tiny USB-C dongle that lives in the laptop, and the transmitter clips to your collar. You compare it with their lavalier capsule for even better placement. WER in the 2 to 2.5% range. You're getting wired performance with wireless freedom.
If he's on a tighter budget.
$20 wired lav. The Boya BYM1 into the 3.5mm jack. Disable AGC, set fixed gain, and you'll still get something like a 4 to 6% WER, which is a 3 to 4 times improvement over the internal mic. The cable is the trade-off. But for $20, it's the highest leverage upgrade in all of voice computing.
If he really wants the headset route.
Logitech Zone Wireless with the USB dongle. Under 2% WEIR. It's the accuracy champion, but you have to wear a headset. For some people, that's fine. For others, it's a deal breaker. Daniel will know which camp he's in.
One thing we haven't talked about, the laptop itself. As these things get thinner, do the internal mics just keep getting worse?
They do, and it's an unavoidable physical constraint. A good microphone capsule needs volume, space for the diaphragm to move, space for the acoustic chamber behind it. When your laptop is 12 millimeters thick, there's simply nowhere to put a decent capsule. The mics in modern ultrabooks are essentially the same components you'd find in a budget smartphone, and they're positioned for video calls where the expectation is. You can understand what I'm saying, not a machine can transcribe every word perfectly.
We're in this weird moment where the software has gotten dramatically better, but the hardware in the device most people use has gotten worse. The gap between what the model can do and what the built-in mic delivers is wider than it's ever been.
That gap is invisible to most users because they've never tried dictation with a good microphone. They try it with the internal mic, it's terrible, and they conclude that voice dictation isn't ready.
That's the tragedy of this whole thing. People abandon a workflow that would genuinely transform how they use a computer because they never got past the hardware bottleneck.
The fix is cheap. That's less than most people spend on coffee in a week. The barrier isn't cost, it's awareness. Nobody tells you that the microphone is the problem. The marketing for Whisper and DeepGram and Claude Code voice typing doesn't say works great, but only if you buy a separate mic.
All right, let's land this. Daniel, if you're listening, Rode Wireless GO2 if you want the best balance of accuracy and freedom. Boya BYM1 if you want to spend $20 and still get a massive improvement. Either way, kill the AGC, set fixed gain, and never look back.
If anyone listening is skeptical, here's an experiment worth running. Dictate the same 100-word passage with your internal mic, then with a $20 lav, and compare the raw transcription side by side. The difference will not be subtle. It will be the difference between this technology doesn't work and I'm never typing again.
One open question I keep coming back to. Will laptop manufacturers ever care about this? Will we see a return of something like the old ThinkPad dual array mic designs that actually tried to capture voice well? Or are we heading toward a world where voice-first users just default to external wearables as part of the kit?
I suspect it'll be the latter. The thinness race isn't slowing down, and the number of users who do serious dictation is still a niche within a niche. What might change things is if voice interfaces become the primary way people interact with AI assistants on their laptops. If you're talking to your computer all day, not just dictating documents, suddenly the microphone quality becomes a product differentiator. But we're not there yet.
Something to watch. For now, buy the mic.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The largest known permafrost methane crater, the Batagaika crater in Siberia, releases an estimated 4,000 to 5,000 tons of methane per year, roughly equivalent to the annual emissions of 900 passenger vehicles, and has been expanding at a rate of roughly 10 meters per year since measurements began.
Right?
Yeah.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumintop. If you found this useful, leave a review and tell a voice, first friend. We'll be back with another prompt soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.